The Alabama Crops Report Podcast, your trusted information source for Alabama agriculture.
Hey, everybody, welcome into the Alabama Crops Report Podcast. Got a good group today for recording. Got Scott, Simmer, Amanda, David, and Eros. So how's it going, everybody?
Good. Good to be here.
Good to be here.
So today is May 1st, or the day after the kangaroo on the interstate in Auburn. How about that?
Yeah, that was a big news.
That was, it caused two wrecks, I think. That was unexpected.
They caught him.
Yep. They did catch him, yeah.
An Auburn vet school cleared him. He's all safe and sound and, you know, recovering well.
Yeah, well, maybe he can
had
pay.
Had a great day.
Maybe he can pay for the car crashes he caused. I don't know. Anyway, well, I think we're here today to talk about corn. So we brought, got Eros and David here to give us an update on the corn crop and maybe some herbicide things to think about and that kind of stuff. So Eros, I'll let you kick us off. What's it look like out there?
Okay, let's see. Corn for 2025. We saw a big increase in acreage nationwide. So for Alabama, we are, it's estimated 22% increase in acreage on corn. And nationwide, we are talking about 95 million acres of corn. So it's going to be a good yield, a good year for corn all over the place. Right now, we are May 1st. The last report is showing that we are at 67 or 70% of corn planted in Alabama, with 40% emerged. That's a little bit behind the schedule as compared to last year. Last year we had 74% or 75% planted and 52% emerged. So that was due to the conditions in March. Remember that we have mild temperatures and a lot of rain and soil moisture was high. So that was not the perfect conditions for corn.
Yeah, we had what, at least a week there where almost the whole state could not get in the field in March. And curious to see if that affects what our ended up number acres planted is, because at a certain point it's too late to plant corn.
I was going to ask, what's our cutoff in Alabama?
Well, it is a bit late for more planting in the south. The north is still good to go. But I would say I have results from 2 years of study showing that the more we delay from now, the more we're going to get the yield impacted.
It's going to be a yield loss from here forward.
Yeah, so I think the best window for planting corn is already passed.
Okay.
In the whole state.
So this is May 1st. This will come out when, Simmer?
About 7-10 days from now.
So we'll be done. In a week, we're done. Yeah. You need to stop, right?
Yeah. Absolutely, yeah. Well, you can't, it depends on your crop rotation and your fields. If you have everything scheduled for corn, you can still plant corn and get some yield decrease if that is the price you need to pay not to plant soybeans, for instance, or cotton in the field. So soybeans are not looking as good as corn right now, and cotton, that's another problem for the farmers. But if you are scheduled to go with corn, go with corn. But don't expect the maximum yield.
And then you need to kind of manage it for that with nitrogen inputs and that type of stuff. Dial it back because you're losing yield potential.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely.
Let me tell you what else will kill yield.
What?
Not killing ryegrass.
Oh, absolutely.
Weeds.
I've heard that before. Allelopathy.
May 1st, man, and I'm still getting ryegrass calls.
Wow.
Well, I'm sorry.
Yeah, ryegrass that wasn't controlled back in the fall.
And going back to March conditions, what we saw in many parts of the states, especially in the south and some central parts of the state, we did see some corn not looking good, stressed, yellowing. Some farmers were concerned about how the crop needed to be looking at that stage. But basically, because of the weather conditions and soil moisture that we had, the corn was stunting and not growing. That was because the roots were not developing as fast as needed to have the growth expected at that stage. But now that we have the heat back again and soil moisture right in place, and so I think we're good to go now.
Well, depending on where you are, you got soil moisture anyway.
Oh, yes, absolutely, yeah. Most likely in the north, then in the south.
Yeah.
And I even think back to mid-January, you know, from a weeds perspective, there was a period there where we had about a two-week stretch where we were pretty mild across the state. You know, getting up in the 60s on average during the day. And so that brought up a lot of weeds. And so kind of allowed ryegrass to get a foothold, and, you know, and then it turned wet and cold again and didn't make the weeds go away, but just made the conditions worse to get equipment in the field.
What are some of the post, I guess, recommendations or considerations, I guess, everyone should be considering right now, given where we are?
So typically, you know, I'll kind of back up back into the February time frame. If we were to have been more proactive on annual ryegrass or Italian ryegrass, you know, a lot of clethodim was probably used, a lot of Roundup was probably used. But I try to tell growers to keep in mind that using those systemic herbicides in that cool and wet, typically wet environment, you know, in that February, early March time frame, those herbicides are slow to work. And so even on a good day, you may not see any activity out of those herbicide applications for 3 to 4 weeks at a time. And so that puts you on over into the end of March, first of April, and you're still kind of wondering, depending on where you are in the state, if those herbicides are going to work. And so then you kind of have to play catch up if the grasses in particular don't die. And so then we go to the gramoxones. And we know if you've got established clumps of Italian ryegrass, those aren't going to be killed by one, sometimes not even two shots of gramoxone alone. And so in the case of corn, we usually try to put, you know, one of the PS2 inhibitors like atrazine with gramoxone. It tends to heat it up a little bit and give us a better kill.
Italian ryegrass is one that even after it's dead, it still causes some issues, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, those big clumps are a physical issue, but then you've got the allelopathy issue too in that rhizosphere.
Look at me, remembered that.
Wow.
I'm impressed.
Simmer said, wow.
Hey, I was impressed too. You identified pigweed correctly from a picture we got.
But it wasn't the normal pigweed.
Yeah, I don't know what
right?
species.
Right, yeah, it wasn't pigweed. Palmer pigweed. Anybody can identify that one.
Yeah. There was a lot of it, needless to say. In a cornfield.
Yeah.
Yeah, that had been sprayed with Roundup and atrazine, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So there's, I guess, right along post weed or herbicide applications, you know, weed control growers are also thinking about maybe coming up on nitrogen here on V6 again.
Yes, absolutely.
So what are some of the things they should be given? We don't get any significant rain or anything which delays them getting out, you know, what are some of your
recommendations
on being timely and the rates and stuff like that?
We are right on time for nitrogen application or side dressing. We recommend the growth stage to be V6. Most of people call it knee-high.
Mm-hmm.
V6 is basically six expanded leaves on the plant. Anyways, you've got to go there, you've got to apply your nitrogen. We have results showing that the more you delay this nitrogen application, the side dress, the more impact on yield you get. Okay, so don't delay your nitrogen application. Some folks will ask, okay, I have irrigation. Can I delay a little bit or can I apply extra nitrogen after V6? Yes, there is a room for up to 20-25% of the nitrogen rate to be applied later than V6 if you irrigate. If you don't have irrigation, don't play around. Go ahead and apply all your nitrogen right now at V6. If you are in a sandy soil, light soils, and you have a heavy rain, you may risk losing part of your nitrogen application. So if that happens, you may be able to, if you can, you may be able to go ahead and reapply some of the rate. Not the total rate again, but some a portion of the rate. If everything goes well, this side dress application is going to benefit you all the way. Okay, you don't need to reapply if you don't have any rain, heavy rain in advance. And we are talking about heavy rain, so not just a rain, but something that is very heavy, like 4 inches or 3 inches in a very light. soil in 24 hours or 48 hours. Okay, so Auburn recommends something between 1 to 1.25 pounds of nitrogen per bushel, per expected bushel of yield. If you're more efficient, you're closer to one. If you're less efficient, your cropping system, you have to apply a little more nitrogen to consider the losses. But the timing is very concerning, okay? And this is what I recommend for most of the farmers that do not have irrigation. Go ahead and side dress at V6. After V6, the plant is gonna take off and you cannot catch up with that anymore. Okay, so V6 is really the recommended timing for nitrogen application.
How many growers do you think really have capabilities in Alabama to even go beyond, and when the corn gets outside V10, where you can't get a tractor in, you gotta have a high boy or through pivot or something? Less than 10% or more than?
Well, if you consider the cooperatives having those big spreaders, mm-hmm. they can apply after V10,
okay?
But that would be not a recommendation that if you're looking into a higher yield this year, apply earlier than later.
Go ahead and apply whatever's remaining left for the year right now.
Absolutely, yes. And if you consider irrigation, we don't have many field irrigated in Alabama. We are talking about 10%, 15% the most of the cases. And this 15% is not only corn, it's cotton and peanuts, so all their crops as well. So we're not talking about a lot of corn irrigated in Alabama. So that's another topic.
So the benefit of delaying only comes into play if you can irrigate as well?
Yes. If you can apply extra moisture and keep the plant going.
Okay. If you're in a dryland situation, just go ahead and finish it out at V6.
Absolutely. Okay. Yes, that's correct. There is no benefit of applying later nitrogen to a dry land field.
So this is probably a question for both you, Eros, and David. So for the producers that are a little bit late planting corn and are, you know, going to see those reductions in yield, and maybe are also going to look at other areas maybe to save some dollars there, what would you be advice that would be different from growers that were able to plant on time versus the ones that are a little bit delayed in terms of cost saving?
If you were able to plant on time and you are ahead the schedule, you can expect a better response from your nitrogen application. So don't cut back on that nitrogen. If you can, if you have the budget, apply your full rate. Now, if you got late and you planted later, then you have to manage that nitrogen application and basically all the inputs you're going to apply to your crop, because you're going to have a lower yield as expected if you had planted on time.
So what would be a date that you would consider, hey, this is when you would start cutting back?
Yeah.
Okay, that's going to depend on
where you are.
Where you are.
Yeah.
Okay. So in the South, I would say April 15 is the last potential or the last date for a high potential yield. Okay. Now moving a little bit to the north of the state, then we can expect May 1st to be already a window that you cannot expect a maximum yield out of these planting dates.
So basically from today forward, North Alabama, when it's time to apply nitrogen, you need to consider cutting back 5, 10, 15%, whatever it is.
And depending on the conditions of the field,
mm-hmm.
right? You don't have, like, pretend we are planting today, May 1st, and we get 100% of the stand. That's already a good sign, okay? Now, if you don't have the right stand, so you are already losing plants that will be putting out yield, so you cannot apply the same amount of nitrogen because the plants are not there. In other conditions as well, if you are in a dry pocket somewhere in the north, or if your soil moisture is right on top of the notch and you are good to go, so those conditions are going to drive your decision.
Is there anything, I'm just thinking about what happened last year, whether we had that long dry spell somewhere around July, right?
Mm-hmm.
We don't know what weather's going to do this year.
Yeah,
we could be, there could be another drought, right? June, July, somewhere. Can growers do something right now to so they can kind of minimize some of the impact of stuff like that, the dryland growers?
Well, there's nothing to do, okay? You have to work your schedule, work your plan, and pray for a good year. Now, as you mentioned, last year, we had a perfect season until end of June, and then after end of June and July, the rain never came back, and most of the state was really dry. Corn was a little bit impacted, or I should have said was impacted, but soybean was really impacted because of the drought. So the more we delay the planting, or if we're dealing with a different crop and we are planting later, let's say cotton in end of May or early June, and even soybeans after wheat, and drought happens, you can't save your budget, because it's uncontrollable. We cannot control
that. Well, I was just thinking about, because nitrogen is one of the big inputs, right? Mm-hmm. Which got to go early in the season, but we don't know what the weather's gonna do. So right now you may be feeling good about the stand you have and how the crop's looking, and you may go ahead and say, I want to put 200 units of nitrogen total in this field. Comes down a month later, it's drought, and you spend a lot of money, but you're like, well, I think I would have been better if I had cut back 20-30%. I would still be, and less red than spending a lot of money. And it's like a big risk versus how do you manage that risk?
That would be why people would probably want to wait until V10 to put
that's
out.
That's what I was thinking. Yeah.
Because, last year it was actually May was wet and we looked like we were in great shape. And June is kind of that critical window for our corn. Didn't rain in June. And then July, we got like 13 or 14 inches in 2 weeks, but it was too late for the corn crop. But there's really nothing, like you said, Eros, there's nothing you can do.
I understand your question, and I see some farmers, they do wait until what's going to happen to the weather, and if perhaps cut back on the fertilizer or apply extra fertilizer because of the weather conditions are good in favor of higher yields. But the thing is, the physiology of the plant doesn't respond like that. Corn at V6, V10 is going to explode in growth and uptake all the nitrogen it can. So if the nitrogen is not there, you are limiting your yield. So there's no catch up later regarding nitrogen. The plant cannot respond like that. So unfortunately, it is what it is. That's what we need to know about the physiology of the crop and just put out there the maximum we can to have a good crop. If drought is going to happen, that's going to be unfortunate. But if it does happen, or if it doesn't happen, can I apply extra nitrogen later? The plant is not going to respond too much for that nitrogen. So unfortunately, it doesn't work like mathematic.
Yeah.
Of all the crops that we grow, corn is the most where you just have to make your decision with what you know today. It'll live with the results after that. Cotton can be, it's got some rebound ability, right? It can compensate for stuff. But corn, like you said, Eros, mm-hmm. I mean, it's set. The minute you put it in the ground, basically your yield potential is set.
Now, there are some other practices that you can try to preserve your yield. That's different than just nitrogen, okay? So if we have very good conditions and we have a wet year, perhaps a fungicide application will be necessary to preserve your yield, preserve your crop, avoid diseases to spread all over the place. Extra nutrients like micronutrients or foliar applications, if you have all the conditions lined up to a perfect yield, those are practices that can help you preserve the maximum yield. Mm. Now, if you do not do these practices, you do not implement a fungicide treatment or a foliar application, you may see not the benefit that those practices can bring to you if you happen to have the perfect weather conditions for a maximum yield.
Yeah. David, from Weed's perspective, at what point or what stage after corn it's like you're okay, you shouldn't worry about that?
Well, we've talked a lot about...
I
mean,
I feel like the canopy starts then overlapping, you, then you're okay, right?
Until morning glories show up before you harvest.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's true. That's
exactly.
Not
I mean, we've talked a lot about timing of planting and trying to get timely rains on dry land corn, and it's just kind of a roll of the dice. But obviously, those early planted acres are in good shape because in a lot of cases, that corn's ahead of the weed emergence. And so we may, in that case, be able to get away with very little to no pre-emergence at planting. Although I wouldn't recommend that because atrazine is kind of the backbone of a lot of, if not all, most corn programs. And so I at least want that down as insurance. Mm-hmm. But then the V6 stage that you were talking about is the cutoff for a lot of these posts over the top applications. And, you know, there's not but just a couple herbicides, you know, in the corn programs that are post-emergence only. In other words, those that don't have soil residual, you know, and that's the Roundup and the, you know, the Liberties. You know, everything else has soil residual and is highly dependent on soil moisture and timely rainfall. And so that V6 timing is critical whether you're early planted or late planted, because you've got to get a post-contact systemic on those weeds that have already emerged, but then you've got to lay down some residuals too, because whether the rain keeps coming or if it cuts off, you've still got to have some type of soil residual activity to extend that level of control all the way through canopy. And even past that, you know, like Scott, as you mentioned, in the case of morning glories, you know, weed control is kind of one of those things, especially this year, as tight as margins are, that a lot of people may not talk about or maybe want to put on the back burner. But if they've got fields with a history of a lot of morning glory, those timely applications will likely pay off in the long term, because when corn matures and the leaves dry down and that sunlight reaches the soil floor, you know, that's when the morning glories start crawling, and, you know, then you end up at the end of the year with some harvest issues. But, you know, overall, we've got just a small handful of herbicides that we constantly rely on in corn and also in soybean programs. And that's, you know, for the case of corn, starting off with atrazine, and then the chloroacetamides, the mitotic inhibitors like your warrants and your duals, you know, those are soil residual actives. But then for morning glory, you're talking about those products that are considered bleachers. You know, if anybody uses any of those tank mixtures or premixes of a group 27 or those bleachers like Impact or Laudis or Balance Flex or anything, you know, where you may turn around and double up that application at the end of your turn row and you see white corn later on, those are the bleachers. But those herbicides there are the ones that really get us across the finish line at the end of the season for morning glory control. So those are all very important to have in the program. But, you know, that takes knowing the history of those fields.
Well, I'm not the weed specialist here, but I would like to point out two important issues about weed control in corn. And, well, most of the crops, and David is gonna fill in the blanks here. most of the crops, the period of maximum concern about weed competition is really in the beginning, like 20 to 30 days of the crop. So you gotta have a clean field up to 30 days to avoid weed competition. Like corn is really gonna grow after 30 days, so whatever comes after that is not gonna bother the plant. But in the beginning, the weed competition is really gonna hurt yield if you have weeds and mix of the rows. The other thing that I would point out is, as David mentioned, the V5 or V6 is the cutout for herbicide application, post-emergent herbicide applications, because most of the molecules, they can damage the kernels, the setting of the kernels on the ears. So, and just read the label, check specific herbicides. They do have a saying on the label that you can't apply after a certain stage of the crop. I have seen many cases of Nicosulfuron or Roundup being applied late and messing with the ear, with the ears. The kernels are missing, and then you're gonna blame the drought or any other
soil pH,
soil pH or any other factor, and in fact, was your herbicide applied late?
Well, this year I've been pleasantly surprised that I've actually heard farmers pulling out lay-by rigs.
Good,
so, which is good. You know, those restrictions or those application cutoffs typically only apply to broadcast applications over the top. But, you know, with a lay-by rig or something post-direct, we can extend that level of application, that timing of application into V8, maybe even later to post-direct that onto the row middles at the base of those plants so that you're minimizing the impact to the crop. But you know, there's obviously morning glory. We've already talked about that as a physical inhibitor there at the end of the growing season. But, you know, there's a lot of weeds that may come up early that, yeah, it may not impact yield as much as, say, morning glory. But a lot of those weeds are big-time prolific reseeders, you know, like the pigweeds. And so although you may have your corn stand outcompete that broadleaf weed, but at the end of that season, it's still going to produce millions of seed for you to deal with the next year and the next year, you know, into following crops. So, you know, you might save on your herbicide budget this year, but what's that going to do to next year's crop?
Well, Dave, at the end of the day, outside of maybe some automatic fungicides that go out in soybeans or something, crop protection has already, at least if you're following our, you know, extension recommendations, we've already cut everything as far back as we can. And you said it 100 times when you were talking earlier, but the timeliness is what is important. I don't think crop protection, herbicides, insecticides, fungicides, is where we save money this year.
Yeah, and the only way you'll really save on fungicides is if we have another dry year, like we have the last 2 years that kept disease pressure low just across the board. But if we get some good rainfall, you have a really dense canopy, you know, in that corn stand and that field, you're going to be more at risk if there's, you know, rain in that forecast, which will look good for harvest. But yeah, like Arrow said, you'll still have to put out maybe a single application and there's tons of diseases that go to corn. But again, we've been kind of lucky the last 2 years on that. So hopefully we haven't forgotten about that.
Well, we were under the influence of La Nina. And for 2025, the forecast is predicting a normal year regarding weather conditions. So hopefully we are going to have enough rain and moisture and wet conditions to keep the crop alive and healthy. But that's going to bring all the problems together, right?
I wish we could define what a normal year is.
I was going to say, what's normal?
Well, it is the South, so wet, you know.
Yeah, it should be wet.
Summer thunderstorms in the afternoon, you know, but as long as it's not one extreme or the other.
But basically, if you have a good crop and you have a very green field and field is strong, the yield is there, and it's the end of June, early July, and you have those a week or 2 weeks of cloudy days and wet conditions. So you got to pay attention to what's going on in the South or in other states like Georgia, if any rust is showing up or any other disease is showing up. So be ready to do something, to act.
Harris, that's a good point. Something we talk about during the season with insect control and cotton is pay attention to what your neighbors are dealing with in other states, but you can't kill escape bollworms in Mississippi by spraying fields in Alabama. So just because they're spraying means we need to look, not doesn't mean we got it too. That's a good point to keep your eye on the big picture and not just focus on your one farm.
Yeah. What's your yield prediction for this year?
If the weather conditions are perfect or normal, as we are trying to to hope, I think many fields can go up to more than 250 easily, especially the good fields, the fields that have the potential. I think 250 will be easy.
Easy.
I mean, considering all the conditions provided.
Yeah, right?
It's all relative, Scott.
All right. All right. Well, we're getting up on time. Anything else we need to discuss?
Seemed like they covered a good bit of stuff.
Is there any event or publications or anything that you want to?
None coming up immediately.
Well, I guess I'll say, you know, one thing we try to do in our research and extension programs every year is try to answer the questions that the growers have. And, you know, from a research perspective, I know dollars and cents really matter. You know, so from the nuts and bolts side of things on research, you know, we're evaluating all these things like timing and herbicide application and selection and all these things and how it impacts corn yield as well as weed control, but also keeps money in your pocket. So that's one thing that our group hopes to achieve this year in the crops that we cover is try to get some return on investment back to the growers.
Absolutely. All right. Well, guys, we appreciate your time today. Enjoyed our conversation. Always appreciate our listeners out there. As always, if any of us with Extension can ever do anything to help, please don't hesitate to reach out and let us know. And we'll be back with another episode soon.
The Alabama Crops Report is a production of the Alabama Cooperative Extension System.